My guest at this time is former House Intelligence Committee Chairman Pete Hoekstra. For many years, he was a congressman from Michigan. He is now Shulman Senior Fellow at the Investigative Project on Terrorism, and he is the author of the brand new book, Architects of Disaster, The Destruction of Libya. And if you want to know who the architects of disaster are, the pictures on the cover are of President Obama and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. And Mr. Chairman, thanks very much for your time today.
Hey, it's very good to be with you. Thank you.
Well, let's start a little bit by getting your reaction to some of the things former Secretary Clinton had to say about Benghazi during the debate on Tuesday night. There wasn't a tremendous amount of discussion on it, but she did say a number of things I want to get your reaction to briefly. First of all, the idea to get involved militarily in Libya at all. Here's what she had to say about that.
Our response, which I think was smart power at its best, is that the United States will not lead this. We will provide essential, unique capabilities that we have, but the Europeans and the Arabs had to be first over the line. We did not put one single American soldier on the ground in Libya.
Mr. Chairman, we'll get to the Benghazi attack in a moment, but what do you make of her defense that even in hindsight, this was smart power the way the U.S. administration approached the Libyan crisis?
Well, if this is smart power, I'd hate to see what dumb power would be. You know, what she's doing here, she's passing the buck and saying, you know, we didn't lead. Well, if we're going to use our resources, whether they are men and women in the military or whether it is the Air Force where we don't put a boot on the ground but we're fully involved, I'm sorry, I want us to lead because I'm not willing to turn over our military to what the Europeans want, what the Arab countries want, or what the UN wants. I want our resources used for one purpose, for the national security interest of the U.S. of United States of America and nobody else. And I want them under our control, and I want them under the leadership of our president and our Congress.
One of the things you talk about in the book, Mr. Chairman, is that initially the idea was that we had to act. There's going to be this Gaddafi-ordered slaughter of rebels in Benghazi, and if we don't act right away, there's going to be this human catastrophe. Ultimately, of course, the mission changed from protecting people who are about to be slaughtered to regime change. How did that happen, and how did it work out that the president got to do it without authorization?
Well, this is very interesting. You're right. They were talking about a genocide occurring in Libya, and in hindsight, there's all kinds of evidence that that was not even anywhere close to what was going to be happening in Libya. Throughout the process, Libya and his sons, Gaddafi and his sons, they wanted to negotiate a settlement and a peace agreement, and Hillary and the Europeans said no. They just wanted to get rid of Gaddafi. The interesting thing here, and the reason that we call this not smart policy, but why we call this a disaster, is for 8 years, Muammar Gaddafi and Libya did everything the United States asked them to do in terms of their nuclear weapons program, in terms of paying reparations to the victims of their past terrorist activities, and they were partners in fighting jihadists in Al-Qaeda, not only in northern Africa, but other parts of the world. And in this case, the president and the secretary of state snatched defeat out of the jaws of victory. This was actually a success in the war on terror. Bipartisan administrations over decades had ostracized Gaddafi and put him in a position where he had to change his behavior, and he was working. He's still a bad and evil man, but he was working with us to secure our national interest. How Obama did this in foreign policy, how Congress let him do it, you know, I think that's a huge question. But this president has been running foreign policy. You know, no authorization in Libya. He gets an Iran agreement by getting, you know, a minority of the Senate to support his Iranian agreement. He can't even get a majority in the House or the Senate. So this president has always been operating on the margin and hasn't been able to get majorities to support his foreign policy.
We're talking with former Michigan Congressman Pete Hoekstra, former chairman of the U.S. House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. The new book is Architects of Disaster. Following the fall of Gaddafi, Hillary Clinton made this reference to what happened there during the debate Tuesday night.
And the Libyan people had a free election, the first time since 1951. And you know what? They voted for moderates. They voted with the hope of democracy. Because of the Arab Spring, because of a lot of other things, there was turmoil to be followed.
Turmoil to be followed is putting it mildly, according to the way you describe it in the book. In fact, there's this gripping picture on one page here where you essentially see a spider web of jihadism emanating out of Libya. Explain how that developed in the wake of what we saw there.
Well, what you had is, number one, in Libya. I mean, it's amazing what she was talking about. You know, yeah, chaos followed. It's disaster followed. In Libya, we allied ourselves with jihadists who had American blood on their hands. They recruited and they fought in Afghanistan and Iraq, and we allied with them. Sure, they had an election, but the jihadists, they were well enough organized that this new government never effectively took control of the country. Europe, America, we walked away, and everybody knows that Libya now, read the papers every day, it is a state of chaos. It is an ungoverned region. You have refugees and jihadists going from northern Africa to the soft underbelly of Europe. You have weapons and fighters, weapons supplied by NATO, weapons supplied by Qatar, arms caches that were left over from Gaddafi, and fighters, jihadist fighters, trained in many cases by NATO, who are now exporting jihad all across northern Africa, and more importantly, a number of these weapons and fighters made their way through Turkey into Syria to, you know, promote another agenda item from this administration, which was to get rid of Assad. They never got rid of Assad. What they did is they morphed into what today we call ISIS, which is operating a genocide against Christians in Syria, in Iraq, and now holds large parts, geographic parts of both of those countries. Those folks and those individuals and the weapons, much of that came from Libya.
On September 11th, 2012, of course, came the terrorist attacks on the consulate in Benghazi, killing Ambassador Chris Stevens, Sean Smith, and as well as Ty Woods and Glenn Doherty later on that evening. Hillary Clinton didn't mention it much. Anderson Cooper mentioned the fact that Americans did die there. And here's what Hillary Clinton had to say about what happened there.
Unless you believe the United States should not send diplomats to any place that is dangerous, which I do not, then when we send them forth, there is always the potential for danger and risk.
Essentially saying it's the hazards of the job, Mr. Chairman. What's your reaction to that?
Again, anybody looking at what was going on in Benghazi would say that's not a place for an American ambassador to go unless he's got an enhanced security detail traveling with him. He was sent anyway. He was sent to a facility where they've been cutting back on security. The real question that we're going to have to find out is why was he there? And why were we allowing jihadists, people with jihadist affiliations, to actually provide security for the facility where he was staying? That's going to be a question for this Benghazi committee to handle and to hopefully get answers to. I think the other thing that we are going to find is that the fighters and the weapons most likely that were used to kill our ambassador, to kill three other Americans, these fighters were probably trained by NATO, and these weapons were supplied through NATO or one of the other countries that was funneling weapons into these rebel jihadist groups.
Mr. Chairman, last question before we let you go. Obviously, next Thursday, Secretary Clinton will be testifying before the Select Benghazi Committee, and there aren't that many members on the committee. I'm not sure how many minutes each member will get for questioning. If you were on that committee, what issues and where would you be directing your questions?
Where I'd be driving first is, Madam Secretary, why did Americans flip sides? Why did you actually believe that you could manage and trust jihadists? why did you throw a regime that was allied with the United States in confronting terrorism, confronting jihadist groups, why did you throw them overboard, and why did you ally with people that had blood on their hands from Afghanistan and Iraq? That's one line of questioning. The second line of questioning I would ask is, if you'd please explain to me what government agencies were involved in transferring or facilitating the transfer of weapons from Libya into Syria. And I don't want any parsing of words that says, well, you know, that wasn't my ball game. Tell us what happened. You know what happened. I don't care what government agency was handling it, but who monitored that process and what was the purpose of the weapons program that the ambassador went to Benghazi to check on?
One more last question. I apologize, but I just want to give folks an opportunity to understand why you wrote the book, Architects of Disaster. Explain what's in here that folks perhaps haven't heard before and what you want the big takeaway to be.
Well, the big takeaway are a couple of things. I wrote the book because I have a unique experience. I had three opportunities between 2003 and 2009 to go to Libya and meet with the leaders, including Muammar Gaddafi, on each of those trips. What the American people, most American people, don't realize, they still remember the old Gaddafi, the bad, evil man. He was still evil, but for those 8 years, he was doing everything that we were asking him to do. He had flipped sides. That's one takeaway. The second takeaway that I think is the most important, President Obama and Hillary Clinton, for the first time in American history, made the decision that you could work with, that you could manage, and you could trust radical jihadist groups. And that is a huge mistake. These people want to attack, they want to destroy, and they want to eliminate the American way of life, and this president and this secretary of state thought that these were groups that we could work with.
Mr. Chairman, we really are done now. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today, and we'll be
great. Thank you.
We'll be talking with you soon. Former Michigan Congressman Pete Hoekstra, former chairman of the U.S. House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. He is now a senior fellow at the Investigative Project on Terrorism. The book is Architects of Disaster, The Destruction of Libya. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.